Greetings to all sentient life forms in the universe. Welcome to Poetic Earthlings, a show that will provoke, inspire, and alter your perception. Remember to rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts and other interstellar platforms. Here's your host from a remote location south of the 49th parallel, York Campbell.
The news channel talked about the dangers of space travel and how the human body tends to atrophy due to a lack of gravity. It showed an astronaut climbing outside of his capsule. He could barely move one foot in front of the other. He gave a thumbs up to the camera before he was loaded on a stretcher. My wife watched in horror, offended by mankind's hubris of thinking we are made for extraterrestrial travel. News reporter talked about the psychological impact of floating around in the metal container, hurtling into space. I admired their sense of adventure, their can-do spirit, their tiny bodies thrown into orbit. Everything is safe down here. Things happen by clockwork. My boss is a jerk and I'm not getting any younger, and no one loves a poet until he's dead. Decisions are made by the higher-ups in the government. Their strings are attached to my back and neck. They tell me how fast to run and who to worship and replace Jesus with a paycheck. No wonder I desire a spaceship to explore constellations, to take a break from the daily hustle. News reporter talked about a solo mission in an advanced rocket ship that could move beyond ultrasonic.
That's crazy! Who in their right mind would sign up for that?
My wife enjoyed arguing with the news anchor and shaking her fist at the screen. I didn't respond. I learned the key to a happy marriage is to keep your mouth shut and do as you're told. Few days later, I entered my name in a raffle. Didn't think anything of it. Thousands of space enthusiasts threw their name in the hat. I would be surprised if they called me back, but it wouldn't be much of a story if they didn't. I was excited, nervous, and confused. Why would they choose a married, middle-aged man to take a one-way mission to Mars?
We only made it seem it was a raffle.
An impressive-looking fellow with well-defined features and grease-lightning hairdo continued to speak.
We went through all of the candidates, crunched the numbers, and trusted the algorithms.
He still didn't answer my question, but I didn't press the issue. The dream of spaceflight was only weeks away. Why get bogged down in the details? I'm sure Neil Armstrong didn't ask a boatload of questions before he landed on the lunar surface. Was he excited, nervous, and confused just like me? These were men born from a different soil, made out of titanium and a sense of adventure. My wife was out of the loop. I know I had to tell her. The worst thing she could do is to flip out and say no. But I'm the man, the modern-day Neil Armstrong, the one chosen out of thousands of candidates. Besides, who needs her permission? I don't ask her a million questions, so I should be able to come and go as I please. Well, my male bravado melted when I approached her. A butcher knife was in her clutches as she sliced through the chicken. 17 years of marriage, almost 2 decades of joy and pain. In a few days, I will be in a capsule and hurtled further than mankind ever traveled. More than likely, she will mention the health complications. And what a selfish decision to abandon the marriage and then throw the butcher knife in my direction. I could say I'm doing this for science and to bring humanity into balance, and my sacrifice will pave the way for future generations. She stopped me before I went into my speech.
NASA called.
She put down the knife, avoided eye contact. What was she thinking?
I'm cool with it.
I couldn't believe my ears. She's probably not aware it's a one-way trip. I explained the details, but she wasn't fazed in the least. She opened the bank app on her phone. My eyes froze. $5 million was deposited in our account, courtesy of the government. My wife mentioned all the items on her wish list and the expensive Bora Bora trip. I have never seen her so happy, so giddy, like a schoolgirl. But isn't she going to miss me? After my crash course in astronomics and deep space survival tactics, I was ready. I expected the capsule to be small, like the one Kal-El was on when he landed on Earth. Rather, it was spacious, with a bridge, sleeping quarters, and an observation deck. My lifelong supply of food was compressed and labeled. Massive water tanks was on the belly of the capsule, enough for showers and drinking purposes. My umbilical cord connected me to Earth was in the form of a computer interface. Communication was a two-way street. I strapped myself in, reclined the chair, and prepared for takeoff. Engines rumbled. Slowly, the capsule elevated. A countdown blasted through my helmet. Second thoughts weaseled their way in, but it was too late. At zero, the capsule launched like David's slingshot. Planets and asteroids receded, along with the stars and the arm of Orion. The capsule continued into the dark void. My watch stopped ticking. The computer panels displayed random letters and shapes. The capsule slowed down, almost coming to a complete stop.
NASA! NASA! Do you hear me?
There was only static. Wherever I am is way out of reach. Okay. Think. Stop panicking and think. That was useless. I panicked and pressed every switch. Engines were idle. Clocks were not working. I was screwed.
Recalibrating.
The computer flickered. The random letters and shapes gave way to a map.
Recalibrating.
The capsule turned around. I breathed easy when I saw the Milky Way straight ahead. Mistakes happen. Soon I would be touching down on the red planet. But this was not the case. Engines kicked in at full throttle. The robotic voice told me to strap in. In what seemed like mere minutes, I flew past Mars. Few moments later, I breached Earth's orbit. There must be a mechanical error. That's why they're pulling me back, I tried reassuring myself. The engine stopped. Faint ticking sound was heard. I looked at my watch. The hands were moving, but the date was completely off. I struck it. The display still showed the wrong date. More precisely, it was off by 400 years. Before I could make sense of it, I heard an old-fashioned phone ringing by the observation deck. I followed the sound to a rotary phone attached to the wall. I placed the receiver to my ear, not knowing who is on the other side.
This is Pegasus. You have entered a restricted zone. State your purpose or prepare for extermination.
Thank you to Dark Samaritan, who wrote this story. Please visit him on Twitter at SamaritanDark. Thanks to my technical assistant, my son Elijah. You can support Poetic Earthlings by giving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcast. It doesn't take a long time, and it really helps us to reach out to more listeners. You can also visit the show on our new YouTube channel, Poetic Earthlings. We'll talk to you soon.